This is Learning About the Roman Liturgy with Louis Tofari. The rubrics, the liturgy, the traditions of the Roman Catholic faith. And now, here's Louis Tofari.
Hello, and welcome to Learning About the Roman Liturgy. I'm your host, Louis Tofari, of Romanitas Press, a liturgical media apostolate dedicated to providing resources for the Roman liturgy. Last week, I spoke about the origins and development of the liturgical rites, particularly of the Roman rite. Today, I would like to give a brief explanation on the various Eastern rites. Firstly, it should be noted that the word Mass, which we Roman Catholics use to describe the sacrificial rite, is strictly a Latin rite word. So the term Mass should not be used in reference to the Eastern Rite liturgies. In the East, the Eucharistic liturgies are referred to a variety of terms, but the most common in English is the Divine Liturgy. The Eastern Rites are also known as the Oriental liturgies, Orient meaning the East. In ancient times, the Orient referred to the eastern and southern regions of the Roman Empire that bordered the Mediterranean and even inland, such as what is now modern-day Greece, Turkey, the Middle East, and parts of North Africa, which, it should be noted, was once heavily Romanized. In fact, the Eastern Catholic ecclesial communities in these areas continue to be officially referred to as the Oriental Churches. For example, the name of the Vatican's office that oversees the Eastern Churches is called the Congregation of Oriental Churches. Today, the Oriental liturgies also encompass the Slavic European countries, such as Russia and the Ukraine, as well as regions of India. Many places in the ancient Orient were not only directly evangelized by the Holy Apostles, but were also the intellectual centers of Christianity. Unfortunately, their influence in the Catholic Church suffered great demise, chiefly in two ways. First, from the near eradication of Christianity in those regions by the Islamic conquest of the 7th century. And second, through various schisms amongst the local churches, the most famous and influential being that of the Greek Church in 1054 AD. The schismatic Eastern churches are generally called the Orthodox, though there are others too, such as the Monophysites, who hold to the heresy that Christ only has one nature. Happily, from each of the schismatic Eastern churches, a remnant has rejoined the doctrine and unity of the Catholic Church. Thus today, every Oriental liturgy has representation with the Holy See, testifying to the Church's universality. These Eastern churches in union with Rome are often called uniate. In the East, there are two patriarchal sees of apostolic origin, from which some of the Oriental rites are derived, that of Antioch and Alexandria. Another patriarchy that developed its own liturgy form is Byzantium, or Constantinople. However, this is not actually of apostolic origin, having later gained the distinction of becoming a patriarchal see due to its political influence throughout the eastern provinces of the Roman Empire. There is, of course, also in the East the Apostolic Patriarchy of Jerusalem, but no seminal Eastern liturgy has come to us from the Holy City. That being said, the Latin Church's Carmelite Rite is called the Rite of the Holy Sepulchre. This Latin rite is actually a 12th century form of the Roman Mass used by various monastic orders in the Holy Land when the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem governed the region in the Middle Ages. As a side note, in the West, there is only one patriarchal see of apostolic origin, that of Rome. All others in the West are of honorific designation only. Returning to the East, there are generally considered to be four distinct liturgical rites: the Byzantine Rite, the Antiochian Rite, the Alexandrian Rite, and the Armenian Rite. With exception to the Armenian Rite, the other three mentioned liturgical rites also have derivative rites, usually of a regional or cultural nature. Starting with the Byzantine liturgy, the Greek rite is the root for the other variations, such as the Melkite rite, the Russian rite, the Ruthenian or Ukrainian rite. All of these rites primarily use what is called the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, though with minor differences in the ritual. Another difference that exists is the liturgical language used. For example, the Greek rite uses the classical form of that tongue. The Slavic variations of the Byzantine rites, such as the Russian and Ruthenian, used Old Slavonic, an archaic form of the once regional language. Here in the United States, the Catholic Byzantine rites have used the vernacular English since the 1950s. Even so, Old Slavonic is still occasionally used. The Melkite rite, which is used in the Middle East, uses Arabic as well as some Greek, while here in the States, English is also used. From the See of Antioch, originally founded by St. Peter, we have the Antiochian rite, consisting of two distinct branches, the West Syrian liturgies and the East Syrian liturgies. The West Syrian liturgy itself is divided into three separate rites, the Maronite rite, the Syriac rite, and the Malankarese rite. The Maronite rite is focused primarily in Lebanon and uses the Aramaic tongue spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ himself as its liturgical language. The Syriac rite, which was originally centered in Antioch, uses a variety of languages, from Syriac, Arabic, Turkish, and even Kurdish. And finally, the Malankarese rite, which is an adapted form of the Syriac rite used on the Malabar coast of India by Catholics who returned to the fold of the Roman Catholic Church in 1930, having left the Syro-Jacobites, their language used is Malayalam, Indian, and fragments of Syriac. As for the East Syrian liturgies, there are two variants, the Chaldean rite and the Malabarese rite. The Chaldean rite developed in ancient Persia or the Mesopotamia region, and its liturgical language is its namesake, Chaldean. And the Malabarese rite, which is the other rite derived from Syria and used in India. It is noteworthy to recall that the Christians on the Indian subcontinent were evangelized by St. Thomas the Apostle, and thus are known as the St. Thomas Christians. In ancient times, they were actually under the ecclesiastical authority from Persia. But in the 17th century, they were reunited to contact with the Roman Catholic Church through Portuguese missionaries. The liturgical language of the Malabarese rite is still Chaldean, thus attesting to its Syrian roots. We now move to the Alexandrian rite, which has two liturgical traditions, the Coptic or Egyptian rite and the Ethiopian rite. In the rite of Egypt, the sacred language used is Coptic, a dialect of the ancient Egyptian language, as well as Arabic. The liturgical language of the Ethiopian rite is Ge'ez, an archaic tongue and writing system of Ethiopian culture. Lastly, we come to the Armenian rite, which is a particular rite of its own, not stemming from a patriarchy. Of course, as its name suggests, this rite is focused in what was ancient Armenia, now a province of Turkey. The liturgical language used is ancient Armenian. Last week, I explained that some of the Latin rites have gone extinct due to religious persecutions. Amongst the Eastern rites, their original spheres of influence have been vastly reduced or displaced by various persecutions, not only of the historical Muslim conquest, but once again in our modern times by political upheavals. There is an interesting connection with the demise of the Catholic Church in the Orient, particularly through the eradication of the Christian populace by the Muslim conquest. Though most dioceses in the region no longer technically exist, such as the Diocese of Babylon, nonetheless, the Holy See has maintained their memory by appointing the ancient diocese as emeritus sees to bishops who do not have an actual ecclesiastical territory, such as bishops who work in the Vatican or auxiliary bishops who have no jurisdiction. We'll take a break now and return shortly for the second part of Learning About the Roman Liturgy.
This Sunday and every Sunday, Magnificat Media is happy to present the live video webcam stream of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass from St. Thomas More Priory in Sanford, Florida. Join us here at MagnificatMedia.com and click the Live Mass button at the top of our homepage. And at 8 a.m. Central Time U.S. this Sunday and every Sunday, you will be able to watch and listen as we present the live webcam feed of the sung Morning Mass at St. Thomas More Priory in Sanford, Florida. Sunday, 8 a.m. Central Time U.S. here at MagnificatMedia.com. Living our traditional Catholic faith.
You're listening to Traditional Catholic Radio online at Magnificat Radio and MagnificatMedia.com.
Welcome back to Learning About the Roman Liturgy. I'm your host, Louis Tofari of Romanitas Press. A feature of this show is the opportunity for listeners to ask a question about the Roman Liturgy, which may be answered in a later show. If you have a question, email it to me at info@romanitaspress.com. Romanitas Press is spelled Roman, I-T-A-S, press.com. Again, info@romanitaspress.com. Today, I have two questions to answer. First, from Linda of Iowa, what is the name of the vessel used to carry the incense during Mass? It's called a boat, from the Latin word navicula. The vessel obtained this name because it was often made in the shape of a boat. This was done for symbolic reasons, as the incense represents the prayers of the faithful, who, as members of the mystical body of Christ, are in the ark, or boat, of salvation. In a future show, I will be discussing in greater detail the significance of the use of incense during the liturgy. Until then, thanks for the question, Linda, and my regards to Iowa, land of corn and pigs, though a wannabe field of dreams. Psst! From those of us in Illinois, it's just Iowa. The second question for today comes from Mark of Ohio. Do the altar candles have to be made of a certain mixture of wax? And how many should be lit for a high Mass? Yes, the candles used at the altar have to be made of at least 51% pure beeswax, while the remainder can be of a paraffin mixture. For a high Mass, that is a sung Mass with incense, which is also called a Missa Cantata, at least 6 candles should be lit on the altar, though for festivities or solemn occasions, more may be used around the altar to show greater dignity. To learn more about the use of candles in the sacred liturgy, go to my website, romanitaspress.com, and get the book, Candles in the Roman Rite. Originally printed in 1937 by the now-defunct Gross Candle Company of Baltimore, Maryland, this book explains the rules for the use of candles in the Roman liturgy. This informative book also features beautiful watercolor and line drawings that illustrate how candles and even flowers can be arranged in a sanctuary for festive occasions. It's just another great way to learn about the Roman liturgy. Thanks for the question, Mark, and my regards to Ohio, the Buckeye State. Hey, did you know that a buckeye is actually a tree? Well, I didn't. I had to look it up. I actually thought buckeye had something to do with a shotgun. Well, till next week, this is Louis Tofari for Learning About the Roman Liturgy. Goodbye, and God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Learning About the Roman Liturgy with Louis Tofari. To learn more, visit Mr. Tofari's website, RomanitasPress.com, and join us here each Thursday as Mr. Tofari talks about the rubrics, the liturgy, and the traditions of the Roman Catholic faith, right here on Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com, living our traditional Catholic faith.